Psalm 128, good to be here tonight, amen? Amen. And I just want to preach to you for just a few minutes. Only got about six verses in this chapter, so that can't take too long. And you're going from polar opposites here. That fellow from, there's no question he wouldn't have had to said where he was from, and you'd have been able to tell he's from New York. Amen, but you're swinging from New York to Southeast Georgia in just a few seconds. I hope you don't get jet lag and go to sleep, because there's a lot of miles in between those two places right there. But God's good in New York. That same God's good down in Georgia and Florida and every place from here to wherever the Lord goes, He's good. Amen? I want to preach to you tonight about simply being happy. And I know this verse, I'm kind of translating it, but it says blessed, that first verse there in the chapter. And we take that to mean happy. We take it to mean God's blessing you, but we also taking it to happiness and joy and all those things rolled in together. And happiness and joy are not the same things, but I'll take both of them. Amen. Amen. I'll take both of them. And happiness, and this has been said a lot of times, but happiness just depends on what's happening. And so people kind of think because it is, because it does deal with what's happening, you kind of make it superficial or kind of look past it and say, well, what you really want is joy. But I really do, joy goes deep, goes down to the soul. And joy will be there when happiness is gone if you got it. And that's a thing that has to do with the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And so that joy, it's a spiritual thing, and that'll get you through when bad things are happening. When bad things are happening, you don't say that you're happy. You say you're miserable, or you might say you're in grief, or you might say that you're upset. You might even say that you're depressed. And I tell my wife, I tell the people in our church, I say I'm depressed about every Sunday evening and Monday morning. There's something about that. Pastoring a church, a depression can slip in like that, and you don't get the results that you want, or you don't get the crowd that you want, or whatever you're looking for that you don't get. Most of the time when we manufacture a sermon, which I recommend against, I recommend you just let God manufacture the sermons and you just get in there and be a mouthpiece about it. But we all, as preachers, we manufacture sermons, and when that doesn't get the result, if it doesn't produce revival, if 10 people don't get saved, well, then we get depressed about it. And that's what depression is. Mostly we're trying to produce something and it doesn't turn out right, and then we get depressed about stuff like that. Well, in those times you want to have joy, the joy of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Lord is your strength, the Bible says. We'd like to have those things to carry us through the bad times, but I'll be honest with you, I'm going to run all I can from the unhappy times. And we're just that way. David said that when he was afflicted, then he ran to the Lord and tried to get things right. So I just want to avoid those unhappy times, don't you? Amen. Amen. And that's what this message is going to be about tonight, about avoiding those unhappy times. There's unhappy times, there's unhappy places. I've been to a lot of places. I've preached a lot of funerals here in the last little bit. People I've known, people I've seen, and that funeral home is an unhappy place. Especially if I'm talking about tragedy involved as far as ungodliness is concerned. We had a young man get out of church, and this has happened a couple times over the last couple of years. Have a young man get out of church and go back to partying, go back to drinking, go back to a rebellious lifestyle. And you know, children are not the only people that are rebellious. You can be rebellious as a 25, 30-year-old. But I've seen a couple of young men die in their backslidden condition. They call me on the phone. I'm going to come back to church, preacher. But they never come back. But eventually they did come back, but they come back by way of the hearse. Amen? And so those times are unhappy times. And I think we understand that. Amen? But at any rate, I want to try to give you a little message tonight that'll help you stay away from those times and if at all possible, from those places. Some places just hold an air of unhappiness about them, amen? But you can avoid some of those places in your life if you want to, and that's a big part of the sermon, if you want to. Salvation is free, but happiness is not free. Happiness is not free. It's to be worked for. It's to be paid for. It's to be cultivated. Some of you say, well, I'd like to have a happy marriage. You're going to have to work on that. Because both of you people, and probably stupid, both of you. Amen? I was reading in my Bible yesterday and the day before trying to make a little timeline through the Bible and trying to figure out when this person was alive and when this person was dead. And I found out some of those old people back in the Old Testament, they was getting married when they was 40. And so they had a little wisdom under their belt, I hope, when they was 40. Amen. Amen. Some of us, we don't get wisdom till a little later on in life when we're 50 or 60. I'm still waiting for mine to show up. But nowadays, you got folks trying to get married 15, 16, 17, 18. Things are going to be difficult. And if you're going to find happiness, it's going to have to be worked for.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
So I'd like to have a happy church. You're going to have to work for that too.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. You're going to have to work for that too. And you're going to have to fight dissatisfaction a whole lot. Amen. Because hardships are coming. And hard times is coming. And if you're saved, you got three major enemies that's against you. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And they all three. They don't just want to steal your joy and get you away from Jesus. They want to make you miserable. Because as a child of God, if they can get you cursing God and shaking your fist, well, the devil thinks he's winning the battle when he does that. And I'm thankful that we've got a graceful and a faithful and a merciful God. Boy, I've been to that place where I've shook my fist a little bit. And if you'd be honest, maybe you have too. And I thought, well, Lord, I really lost a battle that time. And the Lord just sitting back in heaven and said, well, I ain't never lost none. Amen. I've lost many battles. I've lost many times, but the Lord ain't never lost none. Amen. I like to read in the Bible about God's faithfulness. Amen. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Amen. That's it. Well, let's get on with, let's read this verse here. Let me just read the first verse, and we'll pray and we'll talk about this. How to have a happy life, whatever kind of life you want to live. Church life, home life, whatever the case may be. Business life, this thing will work in anything. Amen. Blessed is everyone. And it kind of be neat if it just stopped right there, wouldn't it? Blessed is everyone. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was blessed, if everybody was happy? But that's not to be the case. Everybody's not happy.
Right.
I bet you met somebody today that was disgruntled. I bet there's somebody in this church right now that's just disgruntled about everything. I don't think you should do it that way, preacher. I don't think you should let them sing. I don't think you should let them preach. I don't think you should let them take part in the church because, after all, they messed up somewhere down the line. People like that get disgruntled. People not going to be happy. And you would think in a place like this where we all got King James Bibles and got suits on and got homes to go to and got food to eat and got people praying for us and loving us and looking after us and trying to lead us in the right way, you'd think we all be overjoyed. Every one of us that saved got eternal security. Everybody got a faithful God. Everybody got a book in your Bible that's never been wrong, ever, ever, ever been wrong. But still you find people in crowds just like this. That just upset. Upset all the time.
Amen.
Upset all the time. Amen. And that's all right if you're upset at sin. That's upset. It's okay to get upset at sin and hate sin and stuff like that. But some of us don't know when we got it so good.
That's right.
Amen. Some of you don't like these old time meetings and this old time churches and stuff like this and don't like the shouting and don't like all the... So go try out some of these First Baptists around and go try some of these Methodists and Presbyterians. They're not shedding tears of joy in those places. Amen. They're not hollering, jumping around. They got nothing to holler and shout about. Amen. You don't know how good you got it. Well, let me read. It doesn't say blessed is everyone. It says this, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. You want to be happy? You're going to have to fear the Lord. You're going to have to fear the Lord. Now that doesn't jive with the modern day message. The modern day message is comfort. The modern day message is peace. But let me tell you, all those things come through the fear of the Lord.
That's right.
Because that's where happiness comes from. If you don't get on television and find the people running from the boogeyman being happy and they're running and screaming. You say, what's the reason they're running and screaming and hollering? Well, they're afraid of what's ever chasing them, Jason or whatever the latest movie monster is. But we're talking about in here tonight, you being afraid of something and then as a result of that, getting happiness and even joy and in a lot of cases, peace. Amen. Just doesn't seem right. But God's ways is not your way.
Amen.
Amen. See, you think if the preacher would get up and read the sweetest verses, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and just speak smooth words. So you think, I'd go home so happy I couldn't stand it. But that's just not the way it starts. Amen. That's not the way it starts. It may end up that way, But that's not the way it starts. Let's pray. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. And God, I pray you'd help me to say these things right. Help me to say them well. And Lord, I pray you'd get glory and honor and help me to take my time and say within my time, Lord, what I should say and help me to say it well. And then, Lord, help me to go on and let you do your work. And Lord, I pray you'd do that work, that strange work that you do. And I'll thank you for everything that you do. In Christ's name I pray it. Amen. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when we talk about the fear of the Lord, before long you're going to get to that hated, dreaded, terrible word, convictions. You're going to get to that. I mean, when you fear the Lord, I mean, when you're talking about the fear of the Lord, you really have to explain it in the light of God's grace. And I think, I believe with all my heart, that we're living in a day and age when people don't know what the grace of God is. And people will holler about it and scream about it, but in the back of their mind, what grace means is forgiveness. You can't tell me what to do, preacher. I've got grace. And what you mean by that is God's forgive you so nobody can fuss you. But that's not what grace is. Have you ever seen one of them gymnastics fellas or one of those ballet ladies dancing? They look so graceful. It looked like they don't even weigh 5 pounds and they jump up in the air and they just stay up there forever and they twist and turn. And see, if I'd done that, if I jumped off of here and I'd land on my neck because gravity would instantly overcome me and pull me to the ground and bash my head and it would probably bounce me a couple times off the pavement because I have no grace when it comes to the opposition of nature, when it comes to the opposition of gravity. Amen. The reason I can't jump off the end of this building and soar 5 miles away and land peacefully on a branch is because me and gravity have no grace with one another whatsoever. But listen, in that same instant, listen, if you ever met somebody that stank, you know what the problem with people that stink is? They don't know they stink. But you know it. It might be at work. It might be at church. And God help you if it's at church and the air conditioner goes off and you got to sit beside them for 45 minutes. Because they're having the time of their life and you're trying not to puke. But they stink. But you know what? Knowing people like I do, you've been next to a stinker before in your life. Now, either you did one or two of these things. You either got you a Kleenex. Rub a little Vaseline on it. Or you went, go home and take a bath. That's about the only two options you got, isn't it? Well, listen, this, go home and take a bath, is probably a pretty decent way to handle it, but that's not grace. Amen. That's grace. It's like a clean person hanging out with a stinky person. A rich person hanging out with a poor person. A holy God hanging out with the rich like me. That's what grace is. That's what grace is. And listen, it's being able to deal with an unpleasant situation. And listen, I'm going to tell you, if you're sitting here in church tonight and a holy and a faithful and a graceful God gets up and sits beside you, you're going to be happy, you're going to be glad, you're going to be thankful. But listen, the longer you sit there beside a holy God, you're going to become uncomfortable with yourself. Because I promise you, if you stink and if God does sit down beside you, you're not going to go very long before God's going to let you understand, hey, I stink. And a lot of times you'll think you come up with it all by yourself. I just came to a great conclusion. I stink. You know, most people, Brother Joe, think just like, they think when I got saved, I found out I was lost, and I found out, and I come to the conclusion, and I was looking for a Savior, and you think you've done the whole thing. When in actuality, it was really somebody come witness to you, somebody come preach to you, somebody come told you. Basically, what they did is they said, you stink in the eyes and the nostrils of God, and God opened your mind. You said, yes, I sure do. Yeah. But that was the grace, see? That was abiding in grace, showed you those things. And if God never shows you those things, you're never going to fear God. Amen. Listen, since you got saved, Hadn't you reached for your computer and you're going to set it up to look at something you ought to? Haven't when you walked that road down the street and nobody's in the car with you, hadn't you ever turned the radio over where you used to listen to? Hadn't you ever done that? Have you done it? Well, after you get through half of the Michael Jackson song that you used to like, wasn't there something that said, now, turn that off? And when you turned it off, you got home and said, now, God, I was in temptation today, but I was strong enough to turn it off. No, you wouldn't. You wasn't strong enough. It was the fear of God that said, "Ooh, God's fear."
Yeah.
I tell you, if you would have went 3 months listening to that song, you would have been in the deepest, darkest place you ever. You would have thought, after being saved and getting in God's house and getting things right, and then going back to living that way, you would have thought, whenever you got your sense about you, you would have thought, "Hey, I'm worse now than I was before I got saved."
Yeah.
Amen. Because yeah. Hopefully after you got saved, you got better sense than you did.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. So the thing that you need in your life is the fear of God.
Amen.
And when you start getting next to God and when you start realizing His holiness and your lack of holiness, boy, you're going to get some convictions after that.
Yeah.
You know what? Most people's convictions really don't come from a fear of the Lord. A lot of people's convictions come because they hate other people.
Huh?
I mean, you see somebody, you know what it comes down to, Brother Mark? A lot of people get upset with one another. They see somebody else getting away with something they don't think they can get away with. Well, why are you letting them get by with that? And now they're mad. Now they got to say, "Hey, I don't think you ought to wear blue shirts because, bless God, my conviction is I got to wear white shirts, and if I got to do it, you got to do it too." You look around in churches today and you're going to find bitter folks from pillar to post in every church because somebody else don't do the same thing. What's it to you, man? What's it to you? I question a little bit a fella that's worried about what I'm wearing. I question that a little bit. Now, listen, I mean, see, but you ought to have enough sense to figure out the difference. You see a woman walk in or you see a man walk in and they're dressed immodestly. The immodesty ought to bother you.
That's right. Amen.
The immodesty ought to bother you. And that comes from the fear of the Lord. Hey, I don't have a fear of white shirts. I don't have a fear of blue shirts or green shirts or purple shirts. But if you got the fear of the Lord, man, you'll watch your tracks. You'll watch your step. You'll watch what you're going. Amen. And at the end of the day, if I see a brother that's not doing it like I do, bent out of shape, tied up, and oh my God, what's going on? Like throwing water on a wicked witch. A colored shirt. Ah, ah. Is that true or not? That's true right there. That's true. That means you ain't got a fear of God. You got a fear of yourself. That's why you're so upset all the time. That's why you can't go and say something to that person that you don't like something about because you ain't man enough to do that. But you go home and fuss at your wife because so-and-so dared to come to church today in a manner that you just didn't think was appropriate. Would to God that this church was filled with inappropriate people. You got people call you up, "I think I'm about to quit my church because people are so hard and so difficult." That's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. I had a fellow leave a church not too long ago. He said, I said something about long-haired hippies, and he had his friend come to me and said, "He's not coming back no more because you said something about long-haired hippies." I said, "Let him come. Tell him to come. We'll take all the long-haired hippies we can get." But once you get next to God and sit next to Him a little while, you're going to say, "Maybe I need a haircut. Maybe I'm going to need a haircut." And if the preacher happens to mention it, don't get mad. Long-haired hippies, you know what their problem is? They serve the same God you do, their own self. That's why they get mad. They get mad at you for not liking it. You get mad at them for not being it. Because you ain't following the fear of the Lord. You're just following the fear of your preacher. For a long time after I got called to preach, I followed the fear of my preacher. My preacher said no beards on preachers. So, don't come in here with a beard. That's true, and that's okay. If when you're a baby like I was, it's okay if you follow some conviction for somebody else. But you better get as quick as you can over to the fear of God. Let Him direct your path. Amen? Amen. It'll help you calm down a little bit. After all, you was in a pretty bad shape when the Lord showed up. Amen? So how do you get the fear of the Lord? The Bible will put it in you. Amen? The Bible ought to foster a fear of God in you. Now the Bible teachers are saying, take out the fear of the Lord and just reverence. Just reverence the Lord. Just reverence the Lord. Well, reverence, you got a lot of people every Sunday morning going to a lot of different kind of churches, reverencing the Lord. I don't see no lives getting changed. I don't see a lot of happy people. You know how come I know Christians ain't happy today? Because if you look on Facebook, they're saying, I hate these hard preachers. They ought to preach something to make me feel better. Why do you feel bad? Why do you feel so bad?
That's right, amen.
Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You can't even say that with a frown or a scowl on your face. You believe in God, believe also in me. Yeah, let not your heart be troubled. Yeah. Joel Osteen can't smile big enough to cover that verse.
Stop telling me what to do and tell me how I can be happy.
Move to First Baptist. Then I'll be happy. Amen. But you're reading the Bible? Hey, when I read the Bible and see the man of God sitting up on the hill and he says, if I be the man of God, let fire come down and burn you in your feet. You know, it's a dangerous place. Talk bad about a preacher. And you know, sometimes we mock that because everybody and their brother that carries the Bible says, I'm a man of God. You ain't. I doubt whether if you're a child of God or not. But listen, you get a hold of a sure enough preaching man of God, and God will start trimming you a little bit. I read those things in the Bible, and I say, now that could happen to me. Huh? Get that long-haired hippie got caught up in the tree. His hair got caught up in the tree, and people started abusing him and killed him. Hey, that could happen to me if I was rebellious. Reading that in my Bible, and I say, well, let me take just a minute here and get down beside my bed and pray about this. Amen? Because let's face it, we all backslid at some point in time. These preachers, these deacons, the pastor, everyone, we all get backslid. We got to come to church and play the game so we can help one another and be an encouragement to one another. But you know it and I know it. We stay backslid most of the time. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. You say, what makes me come back to church when I'm backslid? Hopefully the fear of God. Hopefully the fear of God. So the Bible can do it. Mothers and fathers ought to instill the fear of God. Amen. You know what most of you do? You're on the side of Hollywood. Now don't do that. The boogeyman will get you. It got quiet right there. It got real quiet right there. The Walking Dead crowd must be here tonight. It got awful quiet right there. I'll leave the light on so that monster in your closet doesn't come out. I'm talking about Christian people. Talking to the kids just like, first of all, don't set them in front of that stuff. I mean, mamas and dads say, hey, don't tell me no lie. God will strike you with a lightning bolt. So that's abuse. And the Walking Dead ain't. And Goldilocks and Disney World isn't child abuse. I don't believe that. Before you turn out your light, I say your prayers before God kills you. It'd be better to turn them loose with Walt Disney. I bet if I stayed right there long enough, this crowd would get quieter and quieter. Amen. All you little princesses.
Oh, that's right.
Oh. All you little princesses. Probably every one of you got a little poster tacked up on the wall. Cinderella. Well, I'm going to move on from Walt Disney because they didn't tell me how much time, but I imagine that it's slipping away quickly. The same fella that created Mickey Mouse created Miley Cyrus. You think about that a little bit. That's right. Amen. Well, what does it say? Blessed everyone that goes to church with people who are a blessing. It don't say that. Don't say that. It says blessed everyone. Hey, listen. If you got a conviction, you fear God, just stick with that and stay with that. And boy, when you, hey, I go to church with this fella and he don't seem to get the fact that we're supposed to be, hey, pray that the preacher preaches on it and skins it. I mean, skins it. But you just sit there and pray for the Lord. I hope you'll help him. Or I pray you'd help her just like you helped me. Because the same God that got through your thick skull can get through their thick skull. Amen? Amen. That's exactly right. So he didn't say, blessed is everyone that goes to church with people that are a blessing. Amen? What it is, you're looking for a blessing from the wrong places. Some of you come here tonight, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I hope you bring 10 more with you tomorrow. But listen, if you come in this place to get a blessing from the person on the left of you or on the right of you, you're looking for your blessings in the wrong place. You ought to be looking to God to get your blessings. You ought to be looking to God to get your blessings. Amen. Somebody don't do it like you, it steals your blessings. Oh, I can't believe that. And then you'll be crying the cry of, I only am left a man of God. And you ain't even close to being 1% of what God's got left. Amen. I'm not talking about giving up your convictions. I'm not talking about stop preaching against sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how to get through somebody else's sin without having a fit.
That's right.
But you know when he said, blessed is everyone, everybody can be blessed. Everybody in here. Every one of you can be blessed. Your fathers and mothers instill the fear of God. Preachers instill the fear of God. Why you preach so hard? So you'll be afraid. So you'll be afraid. So you'll be afraid. Amen? You say, well, I'm just trying to get comfort. Let me tell you something. You know what the rich man in hell was trying to get? He was trying to get comfort. Preacher, I want you to preach a message that will comfort me. Well, you need to go back and read about that rich man when he died and get to hell. He was asking Abraham for relief. He was not asking Abraham for release. If I was in hell, if I was, and thank God I ain't going to hell, but if I was in hell, and if I could see anybody that resembled God, a saint, a prophet, if I could get a glimpse of anybody, I guarantee you when I hollered at him, I wouldn't be saying, would you get me a glass of ice water so I can be comforted in this flame? I'm like, you got the key? You got the key? But see, that's what this world is, man. They want comfort in the midst of torment. And that's all this world has. Turn on the news to something beside the Disney Channel and figure out, hey, in every corner of this globe right now, people are killing one another and stealing from one another and raping one another and committing adultery on one another and trying to discredit one another. And there ain't a comfortable place on this earth for a born-again Christian of God. What you ought to be looking for is comfort from God, not comfort in this world. Oh, preacher, I feel bad today. Welcome to the club, you cry baby. You say, you don't like, no, I'm not talking about not being sympathetic with you. Boy, I wish you could be free from it all. But I know it ain't going to happen. I fell off, I did a roof one time for one of the Manorazzi boys. Not the pastor, the other fellow. What's his name? Robbie. And I was showing off for Josh. And that big old farmhouse, and it was a big old steep pitch, and I got up on the very top of the peak, and I said, look, Josh, I'm skiing. And I'm down here on my feet, like I start sliding down towards the bottom, and there's a 2x4 down there. That 2x4 is going to catch me. I said, look, Josh, I'm skiing. And when I hit the 2x4, the 2x4 went, and I went head over here and went right down 2.5 stories and right next to a trailer, landed. I had to use my hands to hit the trailer so I didn't gash my skull on the end of a metal trailer. And in doing that, I lost the use of my arms to catch my head. And it slammed right into the ground. And it's hurt every day since then and every night since then. And I went to the doctor and he said, Should have come the day it happened. Duh. And when I wake up tomorrow, it's going to hurt. And when I wake up the day after that, it's going to hurt. And you think I like it? No, I don't like it. What do? Live another day. Live another day. Live another day. Take a pill, Brother Mike. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. As bad as this world is, you need every brain cell you got. For half a minute's pleasure, most people pay a doctor to make them an addict. Amen. Listen, if you got to have pills for something that's hurting you, I mean, you do what you want to do, but I'm saying that comfort is not going to show up in this world aside from the fear of the Lord and that Lord himself being merciful and gracious to you. So, Brother Mike, you sure are tough, ain't you? No, I'm not tough. God helps me through it every day. Amen. Every day, every day, every day. He's faithful. He's faithful. So you think you're going to get happiness by running from trouble, but trouble's going to run after you. Found it in the world, you'll find it in church. Amen? Amen. Well, let me finish with this. Look at verse number 3. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine. When's the last time you called your wife a fruitful vine? The Bible has some special love words, don't it? There she is, my darling. Darling, your hair looks like a flock of ravens. Y'all ever read the Song of Solomon? I might be a traveling, that's in the Old Testament. Here he says, woman, you look just like a grapevine to me. Ain't that romantic? I don't see what's so special about that. You look at your wife like she's a rusty old axe head laying in the corner. Tired of her, ain't you? What's going on? Maybe you got more of a fear of missing the latest basketball game than a fear of God. Woman, can't you get out of here? I'm watching my favorite show. We live in a day and time, and I grew up a little bit in this day and time too, where children running through the house is a distraction. Can't y'all go outside and give me 1 minute of peace? Why don't you have no peace? You got a fear of missing some show or a fear of missing some fellowship with somebody else. I can remember being, the preacher would come over to the house and mom and daddy would make us go out and play. Hey, maybe we love that preacher too. Amen. Y'all go outside so we can discuss spiritual things. And the children are outside. Break out them cards. Amen. I'll pay for that one later. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the side. Thy children like olive plants round about that, not round about the house outside playing, round about the table. Rust or decay or what? Is that what your family is to you? I guarantee the closer you get to God, the closer you'll drag your family in. Oh, you look good to me. Amen. If you've been married 10 or 12 years, she don't look like she once did. But I guarantee you get close to God, she'll look good to you. And I got news for you, fellas. You don't look like you used to look neither. Amen? That thing goes both. I hear a jerk every once in a while preach about women and they used to look like a 16-ounce. Now, what business is yours what she looks like? That only matters to one man. It ain't you. That's another kind of preacher I worry about. Somebody always preaching to somebody else's wife. You leave my wife alone while you, whatever you're doing. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Well, he said, thy wife shall be fruitful. You know what a lot of people do too? I'm beginning to question a lot of people's sensibility when they chose a wife. Because they'll choose a wife and they'll say, now, I'm the head of this house. Now, you get over there in the corner and you stay and you don't come out until we got to go to church. Because somebody might look at you and you might run off with them. Huh? Have you ever read Proverbs 31? Well, we're supposed to have the Bible says she's supposed to be a chaste keeper at home. And it does. But it also says she'll be smart enough to go out in the market and she'll bring her food from afar. It ain't talking about the far bedroom either. She'll buy property. Proverbs 31 says the woman's doing all the work while the man's sitting down there talking to the fellas. Is that the way it is or ain't it? Huh? Yes, sir. Oh, no, bless God, my wife ain't leaving the house because she might run off with somebody. Well, what does that say about you? That's exactly right. That is what they're worried about. Well, listen, she ought to be a blessing to you. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, he safely has confidence, puts his trust. Amen. You should have married a woman that was right with God, not a floozy. Amen. I didn't say that about her. You did. Amen. I'm going to pause 10 seconds so that can identify with you. He said, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem. You know what the answer for America is? Godly men. People that fear the Lord. One by one. The hope that this country has right now is not Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. God could bless or damn this country with either one of those birds in office. What it's going to happen to have to happen for America to survive is for you to get the fear of God, and for you to get the fear of God, and for you to get the fear of God, and for you to get the fear of God, and for you to get the fear of God, and for you to get the fear of God, and go on with God. And if Ahab takes over America, God can kill Ahab. But if you're not going to protest, God will let her go on to hell. Amen. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Nothing. That's what you're going to do. You ain't going to do nothing. We got some of them old boys in the swamp down there. If they come to get our guns, we're going to stand and fight. No, if they come to get your guns, you're going to hand them over and help them carry them out to their car. If you won't stand up to your wife, you're not going to stand up to the ATF. Ain't that right? That's right. Amen. Amen. We need godly men. And then, look here. You want to see blessedness? You want to see happy? Look in verse 6. Thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Just put America in there if you want to. You know what happiness is? You know what would make me happy? I'd love to see my children have children and just have peace. I might live in a dirt floor home someday. I don't know. One day in this country, we may not have all the stuff we used to have. You know, I may not be always the pastor of a church. I may not always be the one in charge. I may not always have money. I may not always have a good truck, Brother Joe. I may not ever always have everything that I want. But boy, if I could get me some godly children and bounce a couple of them on my knee and sit back and have peace. And know, just say, God, thank you for all I've got. What's more happy than that? What's more happy than that? What could be more happy than that? Amen. Not a thing. Not a thing. Not a thing. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I ask this thing for myself and for this congregation, folks from New York and Massachusetts and Georgia and Delaware and Maryland, all people from all over the place in here. But God, I pray this one thing for them, that you give them blessed house and blessed children and peace. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding is the peace I'm talking about. Lord, give them a good fear of God. Help them to think about you when they think about sinning. Help them to recall to mind the blessed words of this book when they think about going astray. And Lord, I know the end of that transaction will be peace. And the end of that transaction will be happiness. I pray you'd help. In Jesus' name.